This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
We're back. It's Paul Perillo and Andy Hart for a mid-training camp Roster Report podcast. We normally don't do these. They sort of get incorporated into the camp cast, but because we are the day after the preseason opener, the 7-6 victory over the Saints, and there is no practice today, players are off on Friday, we're going to do a roster report and talk a little bit about some of the things that happened last night here at Gillette Stadium that will affect the roster and the competition moving forward. And first and foremost, I think we start with the injuries. And the biggest injury of note on the night was to Dane Fletcher, who suffered a reported torn ACL in his left knee covering a punt that actually the play got flagged and didn't really happen. But I'm sure in his mind it happened because it's going to cost him, in all likelihood, his season for the second straight year, the former undrafted player dealing with injuries. And he started the game at middle linebacker with Brandon Spikes out. Probably would have had a significant rotational role on this defense, sub-packages. And Paul Perillo, with the Spikes injury, who's been on and off the practice field, and now you lose Fletcher, Bobby Carpenter came into the game. They moved Hightower into the middle. What do you think about the depth at linebacker and what this Fletcher injury means?
It could be a little bit of an issue, and you know, it's funny, we talked about it a little bit on the pregame social last night in regards to Spikes. If you were going to be without your middle linebacker going forward, would it just be Dane Fletcher in there? We expected to see Fletcher last night starting, and he did. Unfortunately for him, you know, it was just the one series before he went out on the punt. I'm not sure, you know, exactly what they would do long term without Spikes, and now we're gonna, you know, perhaps find out because if you know, if Spikes isn't there, Fletcher's no longer an option. So that depth is tested a little bit. I think you're right about that, Andy. And you know, Hightower is a versatile guy. You know, despite your best efforts last night in the post game, not sure if Bill was planning on moving Hightower around to all three spots during
the
game.
As you know, he's practiced all three.
No, I know that, Bill, and I was wondering if your plan heading into the game was to have him play all three.
Well, he's practiced all three.
I understood. So I think probably he would have seen some time at all three. Clearly, it looks like they want him to be that versatile guy that we've all been sort of lusting after. And I think he would be a guy to get a lot more time in the middle. You know, just based on what I've seen in practice so far.
And what we've seen the last few days is the possibility that Rob Ninkovich, who's sort of penciled in as the starter at left defensive end, may be an option versatility-wise playing some of the strong side outside linebacker that he's also obviously played here in New England and other guys coming in at end. So it's not necessarily just a group of quote-unquote linebackers.
Right.
Ninkovich's versatility between a linebacker spot and an end spot might also be an option there, but the best option would be for Brandon Spikes to get healthy and play all the time so that you could have Spikes, Mayo, and Hightower as your linebackers. Another injury, I think the only other issue that I really noticed and sort of a bottom of the depth chart one was Britt Davis left with what appeared to be a collarbone slash shoulder injury. He came off kind of dangling it down, and then they laid him down, put a little pressure on it. But other than that, it seemed like the team escaped relatively unscathed, had a couple scares. Tom Brady took a pretty big hit from Will Smith early in the game and got up a little slow, and then the only lasting issue seemed to be he kept checking his mouth, chin, nose area for maybe some blood or something. But other than that, your impressions competition wise as the roster unfolds, what jumped off the game film for you last night?
Well, on a positive note, I would say the running backs jumped out at me. Both Ridley and Vereen, I thought, were solid. You know, showed some nice things and some good things to build on. I thought defensively, as a group, not necessarily individuals jumping out at me, but as a group, I thought a little bit more active, a little bit more sort of that swarm gang-type tackling mentality. A lot of players around the football. The secondary guys, Kyle Arrington, Patrick Chung, that I spoke to after the game, talked about that not being an accident, something they've really worked on and talked about, you know, going back to the spring, getting more players around the ball. Gerard Mayo, best play I've seen him make in a while, and I'm not talking about the deflection, But to get a guy like Darren Sproles out in the flat, one-on-one, all by yourself, that's not a play that many defenses make on Darren Sproles. And there was, I think, a 3rd-and-8 or a 3rd-and-6 or something like that, and he stopped him for a 4-yard gain. You know, got to get off, find a way to get off the field. Gerard Mayo, big play there. So those kind of things, you know, jumped out at me. On the negative side, I think you probably have to go with the patchwork offensive line. That looked like you mentioned Brady's big hit that he took. You know, the offensive line had some struggles, and in terms of something lingering that you might want to keep an eye on is Nate Solder. I don't think he was at his best last night. He's obviously a guy that will be part of whatever your starting group is. I'm sorry to keep you awake there.
You shouldn't stop a sentence when I yawn. What did you make of,
when I'm about to stop a sentence,
if anything, the fact that it seemed Dante Stallworth was out on the field a little earlier, and even Julian Edelman than Jabbar Gaffney? Seems like he was sort of in a next group, whereas Stallworth was part of the quote-unquote first group and rotating in and out.
Yeah, you're right about that. Interesting observation. I'm not going to read much into it, however. We'll see what happens moving forward, but I think they pretty much have an idea what those guys are going to be and what they have there. I don't know. Maybe it was something, maybe some kind of message they wanted to send. I really don't know. But, you know, Edelman has, I think, enjoyed a pretty good camp as a wide receiver. Probably the best we've seen him look on a consistent basis, running routes and catching footballs as part of the offense. Haven't really seen him do a tremendous amount of that over, his previous camps. Maybe they just want to see him get out there and see if he can do it. I think he had 4 catches last night, 3 of which were for very minimal gains, but then he had 1 big gain on a late first half possession that led to a field goal attempt that Gostkowski ultimately missed. But maybe they just wanted to see him out there with some other players, the stalwarts, that, as you mentioned, and I'm not sure if Lloyd was gone by that time, but some of the other regular packages of offensive players.
Now I'm going to bring up a guy that I don't know whether his night was good because of some of the stuff he did, or bad because when he did it. And that's Trevor Scott. Mm-hmm. He had a productive, shown-up type of fourth quarter, but it was the fourth quarter. And this is a guy that, some people included among the, 3 big signings of the offseason on defense, kind of with Jonathan Finene and Steve Gregory. And he's had a very quiet training camp to the point where, before the preseason game even started, I said, this guy's in a major fight for a job, a roster spot. And then he shows up a little bit. So what do you make of that performance, good and or bad?
Yeah, I'll say this. Bad for when he played, obviously. Hard to get around that. But if you play at that time, you better show up. And he did. He was active on every play he was in there, it seemed. He was involved in the running game. He got pressure on the passer. He had a hit that forced a big sack that forced a fumble. So if you're going to get out there with those younger players, Andy, you better produce. Conversely, and it wasn't quite as late in the game, but Jermaine Cunningham played in the second half against backups, and I don't think he showed up as much. Now, Scott came in later than Cunningham.
And maybe we'll see that flip-flop next week. Who knows?
I just think that if you're going to – it's a bad sign when you play that late, and Will Allen's another one that played very late in the game. You better show up, because if you're not showing up against rookies and first-year players, it's probably a good bet that you're not going to show up when it counts.
Moving forward from what you saw last night, most competitive position as of right now?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm not sure if it's good competition or bad competition, to steal one of your little things, cornerback. I'm not sure anyone's really emerged as, the guys.
Right.
We've seen Arrington, McCourty, and Dowling out there all the time. I'm not necessarily thrilled with the performance of any of those three. So that would be one. The running back situation, I think, is a positive one, because we mentioned
– starting to love that one.
Yeah, we both liked the performances of Vereen and Ridley. And by the way, check out Patriots.com today. That will be the Samsonite Make Your Case that Andy and I will – we'll go at it, talking about who was more impressive last night. Who are you more excited about?
Superstar,
those two guys.
Shane Vereen.
I like Ridley.
Sugar Shane Vereen.
You tend to be more fixated with the flash.
I go with substance. I like guys who make plays.
I go with the substance, you go with the flash.
That's guys that make plays.
Right. So what competition were you interested in last night?
Well, for the positive, I would stick with the running backs. I think, and I don't think it's necessarily competing with each other as much as it's competing with others and just competing for roles. And, you know, I think Woodhead could be on the outside looking in a little bit, and if Shane Vereen can build and become that versatile catch the ball, because I think he offers more as a traditional back than just a screen guy or, you know, spread him out and gash him kind of guy.
I agree with that. He's more than just that.
He could be, in a pinch, to me, a three-down back, play every down. And I think Ridley is actually also morphing into that. We saw him split out wide twice early in some of his reps. Not that he's as natural an athlete or as fluid a receiver, but he also doesn't come from an offense that did that. They did that with Shane Vereen at Cal. That was his role. Maybe Ridley grows into that a little bit more, the more opportunities he's given, and that versatility with those two young guys beyond just the excitement, the playmaking ability, intrigues me. If you're going to go for the negative, I would say the backup quarterbacks and, more importantly, Ryan Mallett, because at this point, I'm not giving up on Hoyer, but I don't think he's a long-term Patriot. I just think he's going to end up going elsewhere, maybe getting a shot to compete for a job, whatever, as he heads into his what'll be his free agent year. Mallett is supposed to be the potential heir apparent, and I just don't see it. I said to you, and it's unfortunate, he reminds me of two guys from LSU named Jamarcus Russell and Rohan Davey. I don't see the reads. I don't see the accuracy. And then last night, the accuracy was really Russell-esque. I mean, that were 4 or 5 yards off.
He had to have 4 or 5 passes that the receiver never even put his arms up, because that's how far off they were. And it wasn't a disrespectful thing. It's kind of what receivers are taught.
Right.
You don't want to go really high and try to tip one, because that's where interceptions come from.
Or you die because you take a big hit.
Yeah, or you die in a preseason game. You don't want that either.
And then I thought he compounded it by declining to speak with the media afterwards.
I agree. That was not a wise move.
To me, you're the quarterback, and in the preseason, you're seen as basically the starting quarterback, the spokesman, and that goes with the job. And you're not always going to be good, but you got to stand up there and take it like a man. Brian Hoyer spoke. Ryan Mallett did not. So
Brian Hoyer wasn't overly thrilled with his performance either.
No, nor should he have been.
And he still sat there and answered the questions.
That's what
you do. I think especially at that position, as you said, that's part of the job. And it's not about us. It's about them. It's part of being a leader. And it's part of being the offense and the leader of the team.
You want him to answer the real ones after you've just played a playoff game where he maybe threw a bad pick, or, you know, he needs to build that ability to say the right thing, respond to adversity, deal with the tough questions. So I thought that was a little disappointing. And then back on the positive side, I'll just end with the defensive front seven. You know, I don't really care exactly what happened, but looked like he had a lot of young guys running to the football, and Mayo had a little juice in him, and Hightower, you know, he comes up and he fills the hole. Okay, so he didn't wrap up. That's unfortunate, but, you know, let's start with guys flying to the ball and sticking some people, and we'll build from there. We'll improve.
Yeah, and that's how I felt about the defense in general in the first half when those guys played. Eyeball test. It just looked different. It looked better than it did last year. It didn't look like guys were holding on. Like, yeah, you know, you didn't have a lot of plays where you said, ooh, if he missed that tackle, that could have been a big play, because there was other guys there. They had one play to me all night that was reminiscent of what we saw last year, the 3rd and 22 down the sideline to Courtney Roby. They got a little mixed up in coverage there, and they gave up a play. That happens. But all things considered, I thought it was a pretty solid opening night for the defense. Obviously, the offense knocking off some rust.
Turning the page forward, the Patriots now have a long time to prepare for their next preseason game. Will be a week from this coming Monday Night Football. And so they now have a lot of practice time. They'll return to the practice field on Sunday at 5 p.m., 5 to 7. Then Monday, the more traditional 1:30 to 4 p.m. I would expect and hope that in the coming days and weeks, as we do these roster reports and camp casts, we'll start to hear about guys returning from PUP and various injuries. So we'll be watching that. Who knows how many new, you know, young offensive linemen they'll have to sign between now and then. So we will be here each and every day that there is training camp practice with a camp cast. And if there doesn't happen to be one on a Friday, we'll be here with another roster report podcast as we move closer to the 53-man cutdown. Who'll be here, who won't be, when they face the Titans on opening day?
We'll be here.
We'll always be here. For Paul, I'm Andy. Peace out.
Workday passes like molasses in wintertime. But it's July. Getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. My boss just pushed me over the limit. I'd like to call him something. I think I'll just call it a day. Oh,
and tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.